Ephesians chapter 5. I was asked when I came in this morning if we're going to be in Galatians. We'll get there next week. Wanted to take this first Sunday of the year, though, and think about some commitments that we ought to make. Just out of curiosity, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Nobody's going to confess up? Oh, a couple, okay, one or two, yeah. How many of you refused to make New Year's resolutions? Yeah, a bunch of you, yeah. How many of you broken your resolution already and you're just embarrassed to admit it? The funniest thing that I read about resolutions is somebody wrote, my resolution was to not make a resolution, so I guess I've already failed. And I thought that was pretty funny. I like that. You know, resolutions, those are the things that we make because we believe that we ought to make a change, that there ought to be something improved in our lives. We want to make a better go at this year than last year. And that's what encourages us to do those sorts of things. I don't want to talk so much about resolutions this morning, but I do want to talk about commitments that we ought to make. If you're a Christian, some commitments that you ought to make. Not a resolution like a New Year's resolution, but a resolved life that you ought to lead. And Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 helps us to think about that. Would you stand for the reading of our sermon text this morning? It's going to take me 6 weeks to get used to this podium instead of my pulpit. All right, here we go. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Let us pray. Open our ears this morning, O Lord, to hear your word. May the soil of our hearts be soft and tilled and receptive. May the seed of Scripture take root in our souls. May your Spirit nurture it so that it grows and produces a harvest of righteousness, for some 30-fold, for some 60, for others 100-fold. I pray, Father, this morning that even small changes, small commitments, would produce great results in our lives today. Let all of us be changed so that we're more like Jesus, more faithful to you, more useful in your kingdom. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. From these two verses, let me point out some principles you need to understand. Principle number one, we all live in the same environment. We're all in the same situation, the same environment. We see this in the phrase, the days are evil. We live in evil days. This idea of evil, when we think of the word evil, we think of the worst of the worst, the baddest of the bad, the most terrible of the terrible. We think of people like an Adolf Hitler, or we think of a child abuser. We think of those as evil. But the Scripture describes evil not in the way that we would normally think of, but the Scripture helps us understand evil in a different way. You see, when the Bible talks about evil, it's talking about an alienation from God, hostility toward God. You see, we live in a world that is separated from Him and is hostile toward Him and not interested in God. And so, therefore, it is described as evil. If God is good, and all that is of God is good, then to be removed from Him is to be in evil. What is evil? And any time, anything that is not pursuing God and engaging with God, then that is evil. The times that we live in, the days that we live in, are polluted by evil. There is much beauty, there is much good and wonder in the world, but it's tainted by evil. Think about it this way. Imagine a lush, pristine forest. And here in the dead of winter, it feels warm and comfortable, doesn't it? Imagine this beautiful forest, and in this forest with tall evergreen trees, there are beautiful flowers growing up. Beauty and wonder, that's like God's creation in this world around it. But imagine if this beautiful, pristine forest were engulfed in a raging inferno. Imagine that a wildfire was raging. And as you look, you see there the beautiful flowers, the beautiful plants, the cute little fuzzy animals. And it is beautiful and wonderful, but the fires are raging all around. And there's smoke everywhere. And it gets on everything. And it's destroying all that's good. That's what I want you to think of when you think of it evil. It's like that smoke, the soot, the ash of the wildfire of rebellion against God that is ruining everything. Maybe this fall you had a bonfire at your house, or you had a fire pit, and maybe you were burning leaves and you walk through that smoke and you get in and you realize, oh, I stink. That's what evil does. It puts the stench of wickedness and rebellion on everything. So we live in the same environment. This is all of us. We live in evil days. Number two, we're told that we all have the same opportunities. We have the same opportunities. We're faced day by day, moment by moment, occasion by occasion, to embrace and relish in what is evil or to turn to what is good and holy. We have the opportunity to draw near to God, or the opportunity to turn away from God. We have the opportunity to pursue God's will for our lives, or the opportunity to set on our own path. Whether it's our relationships, the job that we have, the entertainment choices we have, our finances, our family, just everything, think about every aspect of your life. You have the opportunity to go in God's direction, to pursue God in that area, or to go your own way. Everybody has the same opportunity. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're educated or uneducated, if you're in America or if you're in deepest, darkest Africa. We all have the same opportunity to go God's way or to go our way. So we live in this world that's corrupted by evil. We're faced with a choice. That's the third thing. We have a choice to make. We have this opportunity, but now we have a choice. We can be wise or we can be unwise. We have this opportunity, my way, God's way, and we're called to make a choice to be wise or to be unwise. Wisdom, the Bible tells us, is the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom begins. Wisdom is being reverent toward God, having respect for God, honoring God, being devoted to the Lord. Wisdom is seeking God in every aspect of your life. And here in Ephesians 5, we're told not to be unwise, but to be wise. And that's the choice you have to make every day, with every opportunity that you have. Wisdom is the decision-making filter of life. Wisdom is doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time, with the right motive. Wisdom is, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to follow you. I want to make you known. And the lack of wisdom, not knowing wisdom, is saying, I don't care, Lord. I'll do what I want to do. Not your way, but my way. Not your will, but my will be done. That is being unwise. That's the choice that you have to make. But here in Ephesians 5, we're told that we have the same obligation. We're told to be careful. Be very careful how you live. We are in the same environment. We have the same opportunities. We have the same two choices to make. But we all have the same obligation on us. We are to be careful. We're to be intentional and we're to be purposeful. We're to intentionally and purposefully choose in each encounter, each engagement, to honor God and to make much of Him. And that doesn't happen accidentally. You don't just trip into a faithful Christian life. Now, it's easy to wake up one day and realize, oh, I've been leading an unhealthy lifestyle. It's easy to wake up and realize, oh, I've been leading a neglectful lifestyle. I've been leading an unholy life. Those things are our natural disposition, right? But to be healthy, you've got to be intentional. To be godly, you have to be committed. And this is the obligation that we have. You have to be intentional and pay careful attention. So here's the truth that Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 wants us to understand. God calls us to live with care and wisdom in this evil age. Every single one of us, from the children who are here this morning to the oldest person who's here this morning, God calls you, God commands you, God directs you to live with care and wisdom in this evil age that we are in. That's what Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 teach us. And so with the rest of our time this morning, I want to think about some commitments that you and I ought to make. Commitments you and I ought to consider to live carefully and wisely in this evil age. Some resolutions, if you will. Not that we keep for a few weeks and then forget about, but commitments we make for the rest of our lives. Number one, you will be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to the gospel. You will be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to the gospel. Remember, evil is like the smoke from a forest fire that just saturates everything, covers everything. The soot and the ash that just coat everything. And it gets in your lungs. It stings your eyes. It chokes your breath. The gospel is the fresh air of hope. It's the cleansing water of forgiveness. It's the open way of salvation for all of us. As Christians, we must constantly remind ourselves of the gospel, that we've been redeemed from this evil age, that we have new life in Christ, that we are forgiven, not because of what we have done, not because we've been good enough and smart enough and strong enough, but because of God's grace at work in our lives. Friends, you and I need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. That's right. You need to preach the gospel to yourself. All of us are experts at talking to ourselves. We all have conversations. You talk to yourself more than you talk to anybody else in this world. You talk to yourself constantly. Maybe you remember the old Saturday Night Live skit where the guy was sitting up next to the mirror and he was looking at himself and he was trying to encourage himself and he says, you're smart enough and you're good looking enough and doggone it, people like you. Anybody remember that? Nobody wants to admit it this morning. I'm talking about living for the Lord. I'm not going to admit watching Saturday Night Live. Yeah. We talk to ourselves constantly. That's what Psalm 103 was about. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, praise His holy name. The psalmist was talking to himself, stirring himself up to worship and honor the Lord. You talk to yourself all the time and you tell yourself truth, but a lot of times you tell yourself lies. What you need to do is start preaching the gospel to yourself. You need to start preaching the gospel like we read in Romans 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Self, you are not condemned because of Jesus. You need to preach John 3:16 to yourself. For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. You need to preach Ephesians 2. For by grace, God's free gift, I have been saved. That is nothing that I've done, not of my works. It's God's free gift. Preach the gospel to yourself. Give care and attention to the gospel in your soul. Wake up every day and remind yourself of these truths. Because otherwise, you will not be careful and you will not be wise. The second thing that we ought to do, you will be wise and careful in these evil days if you give attention to Scripture. You will be careful and wise if you give attention to Scripture. You need the Bible in your heart and in your mind. To that end, if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, we have the treasure verse for you. I told you before, I want you to try to memorize this. Hey, some of you can memorize sports stats. You can memorize lines from your favorite show. You can memorize Scripture. Or you could at least make a good effort at it and get the gist of it. Internalize this in your heart. Hide this treasure verse. And then commit to some daily Bible reading. If you're a Christian, you ought to read at least one chapter of the Bible every day. At least one. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, follow the one that's printed here in the bulletin. I talked to a couple of different people and they shared with me what their plan was. Wonderful. Just have a plan. Get into God's Word. The Bible tells us that the just live by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You will not be careful, and you will not be wise in your life if the Scriptures are not saturating you. So you got to get into God's Word. Third, you'll be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to prayer. You need to be committed to prayer. I know some of you are thinking, wait, I've heard all this before. Yeah, that's kind of my job, is to remind you of these things. It's kind of like when you go to your doctor. What does the doctor say? You know, exercise more, eat less. You know what he's going to say when you walk in. But he's got to tell you anyway, right? Because eventually it's going to soak in. And you're thinking, this is all you got for us this morning? Yeah. Read the Bible and pray. Just try it this year. See what happens. Come on. You will be careful and wise if you give attention to prayer. There is no greater privilege that we have, but there's no greater privilege we neglect. I think one of the reasons we don't pray as often and as much as we ought to is because we don't know how to do it. And so I've got some daily prayer prompts for you here on the back of the bulletin. After you spend some time reading and reflecting on Scripture, respond to God in prayer. Worship Him. Offer a prayer of worship. Praise God for His nature and His character. Worship Him for being almighty, for being holy, for being merciful, for being kind, for being the Creator, for being all-powerful, for being all-wise, for being loving. There's no end to the way that we can praise God. So offer a prayer of praise. Confess your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. We got to come clean with God. We need to repent of our sins. Offer prayers of thanksgiving. Express gratitude for specific blessings. Thank God for the good He is doing in your life, for the good that you see around you, for His work. Intercede for others. Ask God to help others with their needs. And I want to encourage you, pray specifically. Pray specifically. Not just bless this person. Well, how do you want God to bless a person? Father, I pray that Larry will recover from his hip surgery. But more than that, I pray that you will give Larry the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with the nurses and the therapists that he encounters. So I've been praying for Larry. Father, I pray for Angela as she studies and prepares her Sunday school lesson this week, that when she gathers these little ones together, she would be able to say things in a way and they would open their ears and pay attention and hear the gospel and be saved. Father, I pray for Jill as she works with those Sparkies in Awana, that you would help her to identify those kids who come from hurting, broken backgrounds and just be able to come in and be their friend and show them the love of Jesus this week. Father, I pray for my kids that they'd stop fighting all the time and learn to love each other. Pray specifically for people. Intercede for them. And pray especially for these spiritual things. We heard it this morning earlier. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Yeah, pray for the health of people, but pray especially for their spiritual health. And then, as you pray, pray for yourself. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Friends, praying is an exercise of faith. The evil of the day would keep us from prayer by discouragement due to our sin, or by distraction due to the worries and the interests of this world, or by doubt, unbelief, and hardness of heart. So you got to fight. Prayer is a fight. So make sure you fight every day. Fourth, you'll be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to holiness. Preach the gospel to yourself, get in the Word, pray, and then be holy. It's the repeated injunction through Old Testament and New Testament. Be holy, the Lord says, because I am holy. Holiness simply means Christ-likeness. Holiness is something that is public and private. It's open and it's secret. Holiness is a love, an enjoyment of what is righteous, and a desire to see righteousness prevail in your personal life and in the world. So give attention to holiness. Number five, you will be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to gospel conversations. Many moments of your day and your week will include other people. As a Christian, you ought to have a gospel conversation with them. It might be just a little snippet, or it might be a full-blown layperson sermonette of how to become a Christian. But you ought to have gospel conversations. We talk about weather, don't we? Talk about kids. Talk about football. Talk about hunting. Talk about scrapbooking. Does anybody scrapbook anymore? I don't know. We talk about music. We talk about movies. We talk about all sorts of things. Why not you and I talk about the Lord more? So what does it look like as a Christian? If I'm having a conversation with Michael and we're just shooting the breeze, we're just gabbing, we want to have a gospel conversation with each other. And I want to encourage him in his faith. I want to encourage him in his walk with Christ. And he wants to do the same for me. If I'm talking to a lost person, I want to introduce them to Jesus. So maybe it's something as little as inviting them to church, or ask him, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Or somebody, you know what will happen is somebody's going to come to you and is going to talking to you about what's wrong in their lives. Right? I mean, we like to share what everything's wrong with us. Use that as an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. Somebody comes to you and says, oh man, I've just been having a terrible day. You're checking out and the cashier for some reason decides to talk to you, of all people, as you're trying to get out the door, about all their ills. If we are careful and wise, we realize God has just opened a door for us to have a gospel conversation with this cashier. And maybe it's just something as small as saying, I'd like to pray for you. By the way, God really does love you, and He cares for you. Or maybe you get to share the whole thing. Just have a gospel conversation with people. Number 6, you'll be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to church life. You'll be careful and wise in these evil days if you give attention to church life. You cannot make it on your own. God did not make you to make it on your own. God does not put Christians on deserted islands and leave them there on purpose. If you are isolating yourself from the life of the church, you are in sin and you will not make it. You are being unwise and careless. You need to be connected to the church. You need to be active and involved. And I want you to think in terms of next steps. What's the next step I need to take in the life of the church? So for some of you this morning, to connect to the church, you just need to become a Christian. You're spiritually dead. You're separated from God. And you need to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus, confessing Him as your Savior and Lord. You need to be saved. And then after that, you need to be baptized, identifying with Jesus, declaring that you belong to Him. You need to be a member of the church. Some of you need to pony up, sign on the dotted line, commit, and be a member of the church. And then you need to be engaged in ministry. So I promised you I'd talk about this yellow piece of paper. Pull it out, would you? Ways to serve in 2018. These are just a few of the things that we need help with around here in the life of the church. We need people to be on the welcome team. These are greeters and ushers. If you volunteer, we need about 26 of you. 26 greeters, 16 ushers, and if we get that many, then about 4 times a year you'll be doing it. Guys and gals, anybody can volunteer to do this. I'm trying to convince Matthew to become an usher. He's a little nervous about it, but maybe you can put some pressure on, do some arm twisting for me. I'm getting a look now. We need a welcome team. We need a connect team. A connect team, these are folks who are going to help do some follow-up with guests, people who visit us. We want to follow up with them. Let them know we're glad that you came. I'm going to give you a secret. None of you can get this because you've been here now, but we're going to take some cupcakes from Simply Sweet. Have you anybody had those? Those are pretty good things. Yeah. And we're just going to take that to them, and that'll give you an opportunity to have a gospel conversation with a visitor, right? I mean, after all, if you're giving somebody a cupcake, they got to listen to you for a few minutes, right? We want to connect with people. So we're looking for 8 folks who will say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll make a phone call, I'll write a letter, or I'll deliver a cupcake. We're looking for people to help out with the worship team. If you can sing, all of you can sing, but if you can sing well, if you can play an instrument, we'd love to include you. Talk to Michael. We need some help in kids' worship. This is the time during the worship service where we have a video curriculum. It's a video that the kids watch that leads them through the Bible lesson. We need 20 kids worship workers. That means you'll be helping about once every other month. We need some psalm readers. You serve one or two times a year. Need 26 of you to do that. These are just a few of the ways, but there are so many other ways to get involved. So many other things, so many other ministries. What could you do? What would God have you do? You say, you know what? I don't want to do any of those things, but I would really like to go visit nursing homes. Awesome. Do it. I don't do any of that, but you know what I'd like to do? I want to fill in the blank. Just do it. How are you going to spend your 2018? Are you going to be careful and wise? Are you going to be unwise? Are you going to make the most of every opportunity that you have to draw near to God and to bring others with you? Or are you going to turn away from God and by doing so influence others away from God? Are you going to take care of your soul by preaching the gospel to yourself, by saturating your heart with Scripture, by praying? Are you going to have gospel conversations with the people around you? Are you going to get involved in the life of the church? What are you going to do? What's 2018 going to look like for you? Let's pray. As we pray, we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. As we pray, as we prepare our hearts for communion, we think about the love that God has for us, the love demonstrated to us through Jesus. We think about how we want to respond. What would God have you do? Heavenly Father, help us to live careful and wise lives in 2018, in 2019, and until Jesus comes. Help us not to succumb to the tide and flow of the evil age we live in, but instead help us to be resolute and determined by your grace, through your strength, with your help, to live the faithful Christian life. As we partake of communion, remind us, O Lord, that it's through the kindness, through the mercy, through the love of Jesus, that we're able to do any of this. So encourage and strengthen us today, we pray in Jesus' name.